Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the opportunity to look at your word and be inspired, be challenged, be changed by what we experience in your presence. Thank you for this life-giving initiative that will become more focused, that will experience more training, and that will be more equipped to give life. To give life like never before, to reach out to our neighbors and our coworkers and our loved ones, to see those who are not yet believers open their hearts and invite you in. Father, we thank you that you would be made known and that we would make you known. Thank you, Father, for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago, I was in college and I had the opportunity to do a mission trip. I served on a drama team and we did these skits for the Southern Baptist Convention. And so we went to Green Lake, Wisconsin. We went to somewhere in Nevada. No. Yeah, I forget. Somewhere dry and hot in the desert. That's going to bug me. And then we went to Asheville, North Carolina, which was kind of my neck of the woods, close to home. And so on one of our trips, we had a little downtime, and we decided a few of us, there was five people on our team, and three of us went to the movies together. We went to the movies, had a good time. While we're in the movies, we come back out, and apparently somebody had broken into my friend's car. I don't know if this really, you know, ties into it, but I was in some kind of place after somebody broke into my friend's car and stole all of my CDs. Like I had one of those big, you know, when you had CDs, like a big CD collection. Anybody ever have one of those books? Like you may still have one. If you do, there is a thing called an MP3 player. Okay. You can condense your library into one little small box. So all of my CDs were stolen, and so I was so upset. You know, I'm supposed to be, you know, having a good God time in this mission trip, but I was hacked off, man. I was so mad, and my friend, he was trying to calm me down a little bit, and so I was just kind of ticked off about this thing the whole time. But on the way home, on the way back to our place where we were staying, we're at Ridgecrest in Asheville, North Carolina. It's a kind of a camping retreat kind of thing. And so on our way back, My buddy's driving this 2000 Ford Mustang, and it's kind of a hot rod, and I'm in the back seat, and he and this girl are in the front seat. And on the way back, like I'm like not even paying attention to what's going on because I'm kind of stewing and fuming over having all my CDs stolen. My buddy's like, well, God will bring it back to you, and maybe that person will get saved by listening to all your Christian music. And I was like, give me a break, man. That's a stretch. And so I was mad about it, looking down the whole time. And before I know it, he slams on brakes. He steers the car off to the side of the road. And I'm like, I'm freaking out. Like, what is going on? Is he going to, like, did he find my CDs on the side of the road? What's happening? So he stops and he's like, y'all wait here. And he jumps out of the car. He starts running off in the distance. And I'm like, what is he doing? And he starts running and up ahead, probably like, 100 yards or so, there had been a car accident. Just minutes before we had gotten there. There were no emergency, you know, no EMS, no ambulance on the scene, nobody. But my buddy, he was a first responder. At least that's what he told us afterwards. And so, like, he had been trained in CPR and first aid. And so he immediately jumps out of the car and starts running, like a bat out of Hades towards the danger, you know? And I'm like, what is he doing? This car could explode at any moment. It probably wasn't that serious, but I'm thinking that. I'm like, I'm staying right where I'm at. My buddy handled that. So he goes running, and then in a moment, he comes back running to the car. I'm probably, you know, extending the story longer than it needs to go. But he comes running back to the car, and he's like, man, we need you. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Well, I had been studying Spanish. Actually, in college, I was pretty fluent in Espanol, and I had got my minor in Spanish, and come to find out, there was a Hispanic person that was in the accident, and they didn't speak any English. And so my buddy comes running to me. He's like, we need you. And so I get out and run towards the danger myself, and come to find out it wasn't much danger, just the guy was injured pretty badly. And I had to translate to make sure that he was okay. And I say all that to say that you and I can learn something from that in the fact that we, as life givers, should be first responders. We should be trained, and we should know what to do in an emergency. We should know how to deal with people in traumatic situations. But a lot of times we're untrained, we're ill-equipped, and we frankly are too busy and we don't care enough. Like, we're focused on our issues. All right, here's where it comes in. We're focused on our CDs got stole, you know, and I'm going to fume and stew over that rather than try to help out in any type of situation. I was even mad when the guy asked, when he comes over and he's like, we need you. I was like, man, I ain't getting out of this car. I'm mad about my CDs, man. And so many times in our life, we're like, yeah, we're focused. We're in our own little world and there's chaos around us. There's madness, there's trauma, there's emergencies around us, and we're just focused on, you know, what's going on with us. But we should be equipped, we should be trained as first responders. Life givers are first responders. And what's our first response? Giving life. What's our first response? Giving life. The scripture I read a couple of weeks ago was 2 Timothy 4:2, and it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, preach the word of God. Be prepared. Look at your neighbor and tell them, be prepared. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. It says, preach the word of God. Giving life equals giving the word. Our first response should be giving people the word. In the same way that a first responder is prepared and trained to administer first aid or CPR or just calming somebody down, life giver should be trained to administer the word and minister the word, not just administer, but minister the word. You got a spiritual issue. You're depressed. You've had a rough day. You've got situations going on in your family. What's our first response? What's our first response? I think typically we kind of tend towards the whole, I'll be praying for you. Whether we actually pray or not is a different issue altogether. It's almost like the whole I'll be praying for you thing is almost like, you know, I'll be thinking about you. Like the Christian version of I'll be thinking about you. Or maybe we even say I'll be thinking about you if we don't know that they're a believer. I'll be thinking about you. Really? That's going to help me right now in my situation? You're thinking about it? Well, guess what? It's consuming my life. So that's good that you'll be thinking about it for a moment. But does that really help me in my situation? You know what I mean? I mean, and is this even genuine? Or is this just a way to change the subject? Like, do we even care? And I've found myself on this side of things more times than I care to admit, where I'm just like, people are pouring out their problems to me. And not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a person, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm a person in line at the grocery store, because I'm a person that has a family, and my family members have issues, and so they'll tell me what's going on in their life, and I'll find myself just default response. Well, I'll be praying for you. But do I even pray? Do I even think about their situation? And is that my first response? Is that my first response? I want us to be trained like my buddy was in the middle of that car wreck. You've got a problem. You've got an issue. You're telling me about your issue. I'm going to run towards that and I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to hold up the word of God and say, look at this. This is first aid for you. This is help. This is healing. This is what you need in this season, in this moment in your life. This is what we need to focus on. And this is what we're going to pray about right now. Let me pray for you right now. Let me pray for you right now. Let me pray for you right now. Seven words that will change your perspective, change your focus, and get you right there in the moment where you're responding first. You are a first responder. Everybody say that. I am a first responder. A lot of times when people are talking about their issues, it comes down to some kind of hurt that they've received or some kind of sickness that they're going through. I know a number of years ago, we used to set up at Augusta Prep. Anybody that was with us back in those days, where we would drive the yellow truck over there and we'd haul everything out of the truck and put it in the thing. We would set up on Wednesday nights, and we had this guy that would come in, and like every time he'd come in, he'd say, man, my back is killing me. My back is killing me right now. And first of all, I'm like, confession, please. Like, don't say that. Don't say that. But he would say it so often, you know, that I was like, man, this is getting old. I'm tired of hearing this. Wait a second. I don't want to hear this anymore. I'm not tired because I need energy. Confession, please. Woo, woo, woo. I don't want to hear this anymore. And so I just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. You know, when at that moment I should have said, wait a second, man, let's pray about this. Your back doesn't have to be killing you right now. But so many times we have this default response. Oh man, that sucks. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry you feel bad. I'm sorry your health's gotten the best of you. I mean, like, do we even care to respond in a way that's actually going to better their situation? So let's talk about, tonight I want to talk to you for a few minutes about administering the first response when it comes to sickness. Administering the first response when it comes to sickness. And I feel like this is, it's kind of been, we've been going this direction with a pastor's message on Sunday, how signs follow believers. He read the Great Commission in Mark 16 and said, go preach the gospel. These signs will follow those who believe. And one of them was, they will do what? Place their hands on sick people, lay hands on their sick, and they will recover, all right? So let's talk about this. Let's get trained a little bit. You guys ready for some training? All right, so when it comes to administering first aid, first response to in regards to sickness, you and I have to know some things. Like, it'd be easy for us to get pretty zealous about, you know, hearing this in the Gospels and be like, oh man, healed, 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 healed. And just like anybody we see, man, my back's healing me. Healed! You see what I'm saying? And, or just to see what we've seen or to, you know, mimic what we've seen on TV, the TV preacher or whoever, and just be like, okay, this is awesome. But nothing even happens because we haven't been trained or we haven't gone through and we haven't responded in the way in which we've been trained. So, a couple of things we need to know before we launch into heal, 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 you know, and just start placing our hands on sick people. The first thing we need to understand is there is a precursor to healing, and that's the gospel. That's the gospel. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? 2 Timothy 4, preach the word of God. This is the precursor. This is the precursor, and then there's a prerequisite, all right? So in order for a life giver to be a first responder and administer first aid, if you will, to somebody who's sick, they must first understand that it's God's will for people to be healed. It's God's will for people to be healed. I shouldn't go into a situation not knowing whether it's God's will or not. You understand what I'm saying? So like if somebody's telling me, my back's killing me, well, I'll pray for you, but you may or may not get healed depending on God's will for you. Like that, you'll fall flat on your face. You're not understanding that there's a prerequisite. A life giver, we have to understand that it's God's will for people to be healed. God wants us well. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We learned that on Sunday, that he's totally himself. He never encountered a sick person that he didn't heal. When we see this in Matthew 8, when he's questioned by a leper, hey, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What did he say? I am willing. I am willing, or I will. And then he said, be clean. So that's like precursors the gospel. A lot of times when we're out on the streets and we encounter people who, you know, we say, well, can I pray for you about anything? And then they begin to tell us about their ailments. And we don't immediately just pray for them right there. We take a moment and we explain some things to them. We explain some things to them about Jesus. We explain to them that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. We explain to them that Jesus lives inside of me. And he said in Mark 16, believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He said in John 14:12 that those who believe in him could do the same things that he did. And he went about healing people. And so he's enabled us and empowered us to lay our hands on sick people and see them recover. And then if we have time or we've experienced something, we can say, hey, just across the street, We prayed for this lady over here and her knee was healed. Or, you know, something to build somebody's faith and to give them the gospel of God's goodness. All right? So we preach the word. Then we have to, the first thing here, after we've done all the prerequisites, the first thing is we have to get permission. This is an authority issue. This is why, you know, people will say, well, if it's God's will for people to be healed, then why are there hospitals? You know? Or why aren't the disciples still around? Anybody remember that? Because the disciples were martyred. Okay. They were killed for their faith. They didn't die of sickness. So we have questions like this, like, I can belabor the point here. We have questions like, if it were God's will for people to be healed, then why don't you just go in and clear out all the hospitals? Well, I can't go in and clear out all the hospitals because all the people that are in the hospitals, first of all, they don't know me. Not everybody in the hospital knows me. And maybe they have heard about me, but they're not calling me saying, hey, come over here and pray for me. They haven't given me any authority or permission to minister healing to them. So in order for me to place my hands on the sick and see them recover, I first have to obtain permission from them. We see this in the ministry of Jesus in Mark chapter 10. Let's read this in Mark 10. We're going to read a lot of scripture just to kind of go through what we're talking about tonight. Verse 46, we'll begin there. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. They changed their tune a little bit. Cheer up, buddy. Come on, he's calling you. First they were like, shut your mouth. We don't want to hear your racket. And then they're like, hey, buddy, be my friend now. Jesus wants to see you. Oh, man. Haters gonna hate, 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 hate. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Listen to this. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. What do you want me to do for you? Simple question. Obtaining authority. Obtaining authority. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. My rabbi, the blind man, said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. This is a key issue. It really is. I remember one time, a couple years ago, like we've just been trained this way as we go out and give life, as we go out and we expect miracles. We've been trained this way, and it's almost like Pavlov's dogs, right, Ben? Like we've been conditioned, like when I see somebody with a cane or a wheelchair or a cast on their arm or something like a visible impairment, visible ailment, like we've been trained to be like, okay, I can fix this. I can do, let me sick them. You know what I'm saying? And so I was walking into Walmart one day. And there was a lady on right there out the front. She didn't work there, but she had just wheeled out in a wheelchair. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. I want to pray for her and just jerk her out of this wheelchair. And I just had this thought on the inside that, yeah, I can do this. What kind of audacity would I have for that? Because Jesus lives in me. Because his power works and flows through me. So I know it's God's will for her to get up out of this wheelchair, to be healed, to be set free from whatever is causing this. And so I walk up to her and I introduce myself. Hey, you know, I'm a believer. I go to a church here in town and this may seem weird, but I want to pray for you. I didn't walk up to her and say, oh, you're in a wheelchair, be healed, and try to yank her out of there. What I did was I walked up to her and I introduced myself. I said, hey, this may seem weird to you, but I'd like to pray for you. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And immediately I'm expecting her to say, yeah, I want to walk. But she didn't say any of those words. She may have been fine with the condition that she was in. She may have been okay. Or she may not have even known that, like, I can even get better. You understand what I'm saying? And so she began to tell me about a family situation. And I didn't press the issue. And I didn't say, well, God wants you well. You need to be out of this wheelchair and start preaching at her like that. She kind of located where she was. And I hooked up my faith with hers. And I prayed about her family. And then I preached the gospel to her and got her saved. I say all that to say I didn't get permission to pray for her about her ailment. You understand? It's an authority issue. She was in authority. And so if she had given me permission, then by all means, we could have worked a miracle. We could have prayed for her and we could have seen Jesus heal her. You understand what I'm saying? It's an authority issue. So Jesus experienced the same thing when he says, hey, what do you want me to do for you? What are you expecting out of me? And then he says, well, I want to see. I mean, the blind man, how was Jesus even supposed to know that the blind man wanted to see? Well, he's blind. Of course he'd want to see. Well, maybe. Maybe he was on disability and getting some income. I mean, I'm not discounting that at all. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not making a light of that. It's not a joke. It's like people get in that situation and they depend on that and they think, well, this is all there is. But there's better. There's better for us. So we got to obtain permission. We got to ask them, hey, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? What can I pray for you about? What are you expecting? And then just a simple, can I pray for you about that? Can I place my hands on you? We're obtaining permission. We're obtaining authority. So get permission. There we go. Number two, don't ask, command. Everybody say, don't ask, command. A typical believer, you're encountering sickness. Well, let's pray about that. God, we pray for Sammy. We pray that, God, would you please do what only you can do? God, please, 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 please heal this person right now. You know, we ask and we beg and we plead. And this is one of those things where it's like, I don't want to put myself out there. Like, if he does it, then cool. If not, then it's he did it, you know. And, oh, if he didn't, if you weren't healed, well, guess it wasn't his will. But wait a second, we've already settled that. It's God's will for people to be healed. So now we got to pray for people and administer a first response in the same way that Jesus would. So what happens here? Don't ask a man. We're not asking God to heal people. We understand that God has already made healing available through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love what T.L. Osborne said. There's two things we don't ask God. One is we don't ask him to do something he's already done. Two, we don't ask him to do something he's told us to do. Right? I love that. I mean, it kind of settles things. It kind of clears things up for me. If he's already said in his word that it's done, then I don't have to ask him to do it. I just enforce the word. And then if he's told me to do it, I don't ask him to do it. Then I just do what he said. Does that make sense? So we're his ambassadors. We command pain and sickness to go in the name of Jesus. What did he do with his disciples? In Matthew 10, he said this. And we'll put this on the screen for you. Jesus called his 12 disciples together. He gave them what? Authority or power. Yeah, authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. So they had the power. They had the authority. They had the ability. Then what does he tell them in verse 8? He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. He didn't say when he was commissioning his disciples, go and plead that God would work through you. Go and plead with our maker that he would possibly maybe heal the sick or raise the dead or might cure the lepers. He said, do it. You heal them. I've given you the authority. I've given you the power. Now do it. Heal the sick. We have to understand that the resurrection power of God dwells in you. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So we don't ask, we command. We command in faith, and we see this in the book of Acts, throughout the book of Acts, that they commanded in the name of Jesus, by the authority that he's given to us, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to cure those with leprosy, to raise the dead even. He said, do it. Heal the sick. And so, are we going to do what he's asked us to do, or are we going to ask him to do what he's told us to do? I think we should just do what he's told us to do. So when we have authority, we have permission from the person that we're praying for. We're not standing there saying, God, please do something about their situation. Oh, God, please, if you would. No, we exercise our faith and we say, by the power that Jesus has given me, I command pain to leave in Jesus' name. And we command it to go. Or just like Peter and John did at the beautiful gate, they commanded the guy to walk in the name of Jesus. And he stood up and he received strength. Which leads to our next point. Have the person act in faith. Have the person act in faith. So in Matthew 12, Jesus was teaching at the synagogue. He encountered this guy with a withered hand. And so we see this in the ministry of Jesus. He kind of has this brief dialogue with the religious people. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He gave him a command to do something, to act in faith. So the man, it says in verse 13, so the man held out his hand and it was restored just like the other one. This isn't just one instance where he did this. There was multiple cases. Mark 2, verse 10, it says, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. The guy was paralyzed. Jesus gave him a command to stand up and act in faith. Hey, stand up, pick up your mat. And the guy didn't, you know, lay on his mat and say, well, I can't. He did what he couldn't do before at the command of Jesus. And so when we boldly tell people, well, stand up. When they can't walk, or move your knee when before they couldn't move your knee, and they act in faith, they're responding to the gospel. They're responding to God's power. They're responding. Just like it says here in Luke 17, verse 11, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So again, he gives them a command to act in faith. They could have easily said, no, I'm good. I'm just going to sit right here. And perhaps nothing would have happened. But as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. As they responded in faith, as they acted in faith, they were healed. And so when you're ministering to the sick, when you're responding, give people something to do. Even if it doesn't necessarily have anything particularly to do with the issue they're dealing with. You know, somebody could be, they could have asthma. And instead of telling them to run around the block, you could say, hey, walk to that wall and come back. And they're just responding in faith. And as they respond in faith, just in the same way that the lepers, as they went and showed themselves to the priest, they were healed. That person could receive healing as they respond in faith to you giving them something to do. So when they step out in faith to act in accordance to what you've told them to do, they're activating their faith. Even though they may not even realize it. They might not even say, hey, I'm in faith right now. You could be ministering to an unbeliever. Give them something to do. Have the person act out their faith. There was a lady that we encountered, again, in the front of Walmart. It's like the marketplace in Jesus' day. It's like the bazaar. People of Walmart. Bazaar. Okay. So we were shopping at Walmart. we saw this lady, she, young girl, probably in her early 20s, and she had this cane. And of course, I start drooling. I could do something about this. She's walking funny. And Kristen's over there. This was after Easter some year. And so, like, the Easter stuff was on sale. And she was over there at the clearance rack getting the candy that was 75% off. And I was standing in line getting something. So Kristen sees the lady, too. And then I see her, and we both have this thought, well, we should do something about this. We should, what can we do, you know? And instead of saying, well, let's pray for her when we leave, we decided, hey, we're going to do something. And so she ended up in line in front of us somehow. We overheard her saying something about her back being killing her, and what was the other thing that she had? Degenerative disc disease or something, all right? And so her back being all messed up was what's causing her to limp and walk with a cane. And so she started limping away with her friend, and we were still checking out, but I was like, okay, I'm going to track her down. So I ran after her and kind of, you know, talked to her, got her attention, began to ask her about her disorder, you know. Hey, how long have you had that? What's going on with that? Listen, we'd love to pray for you about that. And she's like, sure. I mean, it can't get any worse. So she was completely wide open, and I began to minister to her, just like I said, those verses earlier, Mark 16, Acts 10:38, John 14:12, said all those things to her. And I said, would it be okay if I put my hands on you and pray for you? By that time, Kristen was over there, and Karis. We didn't have Adelie at the time. And so we put our hands on her back. We prayed for her, and her back got hot, kind of some heat going. I mean, that's not scriptural or anything. Like, if you don't feel heat, then it's not working. It's just, I don't know, really the first time I've ever experienced that. And so, and she felt it, like something was going on. And so then I walked away. No, I didn't walk away. I said, do something you couldn't do before. Do something you couldn't do before. I didn't ask her, hey, are you better? I said, do something you couldn't do before. So she slapped her friend with the cane, and she's like, here, hold this. And she starts walking. She starts moving. She starts bending over, and she's get this, just this look of elation over her face. She is clearly visibly moved by what's just taken place because she's healed. She got Kristen's number. She walks away. And what'd she say? Like, she kept saying, wow, 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 over and over. Even as she's walking, like, you can hear her. She's like exclaiming, wow, wow. And she doesn't, wait, why am I doing this? She doesn't have the cane anymore. Like, wow. She's like strutting, man. Wow, wow. And her friend is holding her cane in his arm. And she texts Kristen later. I think we exchanged numbers or something. She texts Kristen later, thank you so much for what you did for me. Thank you so much. Just how moved she was and how much better she was. I say all that to say that we had her act in faith. We said, do something you couldn't do before. And instead of her saying, well, I can't do anything, she responded in faith. And as she did, she was healed. All right, number four. Are you getting some tips to first responding tonight? Number four, don't back down. Look at your neighbor and say, don't back down. Just encourage your other neighbor and say, don't back down. You see, not every miracle manifests itself immediately, and not everyone receives instantly. So don't be afraid to keep working with somebody, to lay hands on them again and pray for them, because since you're using your authority to command the condition to clear up, sometimes you may have to speak to it again. Sometimes you may have to get a little more authoritative with it. Like the story Eddie tells about the dog, the lady and the dog. Like the dog's not moving and get away, move. But then when she raises her voice and she stomps her foot and she says, get! Then the dog is terrified and runs away. And it can be the same way with like a physical illness that the devil has oppressed somebody with. Well, he doesn't really mean that. I'll just stick around. I'll just hang on to this ligament right here and work on it some more. What did he say? Go in the name of Jesus! And he gets out of the way, you know. You don't have to yell, but you have to mean business. You have to command. Think about the word even commanding. When you're commanding, you're speaking with authority. Not just like, well, maybe if you want to, leave in Jesus' name. You're saying with authority, like you mean what you say. You realize that your words have power and you speak with authority. Not just like, oh, I'm going to try this. And if it works, cool. If not, well, we tried. No, don't back down. Don't back down. We learned this from Jeremy Gall that if he can move it a little, he can move it a lot. So even if their condition has gotten just a little bit better, then we can encourage them like, hey, God's doing something here. If he can move it a little, he can move it a lot. So let's pray again. We see this even in the ministry of Jesus. He did it in Mark 8 when he was healing a blind man. He came to Bethsaida and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. I often wonder, why did he lead him out of the town? It's probably because there were some people in doubt around him. Probably because he wanted to get along with the guy and encourage him. So he says, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, you might try that method with somebody. If you really want to weird him out. Okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to spit on your eyes. No, thank you. This is crazy. He spit on his eyes and put his hands on him. He asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. So basically, like, it's a little bit better. You could imagine the guy saying, what's a little bit better? And then Jesus says, well, if I can move it a little, I can move it a lot. I see men look like trees walk. And then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. So if Jesus did this, it's not like he didn't believe the first time he prayed for him. It's not like, okay, now, see, I really didn't mean it that time, so now I'm going to get in faith. No, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man, and he acted in accordance with the Word, and so he places his hands on him, and is like, it's a little bit better, but then he places his hands on him again, and the guy is completely restored. So he continued to minister to him until he got better, until the man was able to see clearly. So I say all that to say, don't be discouraged by small changes. Don't be discouraged. Continue working with the person. Keep working with them as long as they'll let you. Don't back down. Don't back down. I remember Grayson telling the story. We were on outreach one day and he walked up to this guy and he's trying to share the gospel with them. Grayson's like 13 years old. He's trying to share the gospel with them, and the guy's Grayson's asking him questions and the guy's like answering not with like nonsense. So Grayson's like, what is this guy messed up in the head or whatever? And then so he finds out that the guy can't hear him well. He's got a hearing aid in one ear and he notices that and he's like, oh, I see what's going on. So he asks the guy about his ear and he starts to speak a little louder. He asks him about his ear and the guy's like, well, he's got a lot of hearing loss in both ears. And so Grayson says, well, okay, well, let's take care of that. Let me pray for you. And he goes through the deal. Prays for the guy, and nothing happens, right? So then he's like, okay, well, you know, let's do it again. So he prays for the guy again, and he can hear a little bit better. And Grayson's like, okay, bye. No, he doesn't give up. He doesn't back down. He prays for him a third time, raises his voice a little bit. And then it's a little bit better. Then he finally is like, okay, man, take out that hearing aid. Like Grayson gets like fed up, as only Grayson can do. Like he's getting fed up about this situation. He is like not moved by what he sees. He's not going to back down. He has the guy take out his hearing aid. He cups his hands over the guy's ears and he said, ears be healed and be whole in the name of Jesus. You know, just with some authority and some gusto, you know, and probably with like a New Jersey accent or something. You know how he gets when he gets fired up. And so, and instantly the guy's ears opened up and he could hear clearly. Don't back down. Don't back down. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And then, so the other side of this is, okay, God's best is always instant. God's best is always for you to receive healing instantly. But guess what? The scripture says they will place their hands on sick people and they will recover. You know? God's best is always instant. But you know what? I can expect that when I lay hands on people, they will recover. I have the Word of God to back me up for that. I can expect that. And so when I say don't back down, maybe it's not backing down over a course of a week or over a course of a month, over a course of 2 months, where you continue to, and this is where really life-giving really gets where you're in the thick of it. Not like, okay, I'm going to spend 5 minutes with this person, now I got to go. But where you're encouraging this person and saying, hey, let's read the Word of God together. I remember Ed Elliott telling a story of a woman that he was working with, and he spent days working with this lady. And basically, he didn't go over healing scriptures. He didn't say, hey, read all these healing stories. He just focused on the love of God. And he taught her about the love of God. And over the course of time, she was healed of her affliction because he spent time pouring the word into her, and he didn't back down. And so don't back down, even if nothing manifests instantly, and even if you're short on time, you can say, hey, if it's a stranger and this works great with family members because you're going to see them again, you say, I'm going to call you, I'm going to check on you. Can we get together tomorrow and can we work on this thing? So many times we're too quick. We live in this fast food society, and we're like, okay, I want it my way right away. And then if it doesn't happen, well, oh well. But don't back down. Don't back down doesn't necessarily mean that we have to spend an hour until they get it, but that we can spend 20 minutes a day encouraging this person, building their faith, helping them see that it's God's will for them to be healed and whole. Because sometimes that may even be better for them because they're being discipled, because they're learning for themselves. Well, what happens when something else comes along and you're not here with me? Well, now I know what to do myself. Okay, I gotta hurry. Number five, the last point here, only believe. If you start thinking that nothing's gonna happen, when you pray, you've already set yourself up for failure. That's fear, not faith. You can't have that thought. Only believe. You can't have that thought, well, we'll try this, and maybe it'll work. Only believe. Only believe. Go ahead and expect, when I place my hands on the sick, they're going to recover. When I lay my hands on you, you're going to get better instantly. Expect the best. Only believe. My brother, he was learning about this stuff, like he was just getting more open to it, really, because years ago you would ask him, well, what do you believe about healing? And he would say, well, I believe it's God's will to heal certain people and other people maybe not. He's done a complete 180. I love it. So he was kind of coming around to some of this stuff. And so he said, well, I'm just going to try it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what happens. So he has this, he's in a service with young people. This was when he was at Colorado Community Church in Englewood, before he went to the other church and spent 2 years there, and before he received the Holy Spirit, before a lot of stuff took place. But he was kind of getting open to this, and he said, okay, well, we're going to pray for people. If you have any needs, we'll pray for you. And so this kid stands up, and he's got some back issues. I think he was he injured it playing sports or something, sore. And so Greg's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I heard this from my brother, so I'm going to try this. So he places his hands on the guy's back and, you know, kind of goes through these steps, really commands this, even though he's just trying. He commands the pain to go. He has the guy act in faith. The guy bends over, does something he couldn't do, twists his back around. And the guy goes, I'm healed. The pain's gone. And Greg goes, really? like he was just as surprised by the miraculous as the guy was. I say that to say, don't do that. Just believe. Believe something's going to happen. Expect something's going to happen. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All right. So here's what we're going to do to kind of wrap this thing up. We usually get in groups. We're going to take about 3 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes here. Not an extended amount of time. We don't have a bunch of questions for you. But I just want you to get with those around you, maybe 3, 4, whatever, and practice. All right? Practice. I don't care if it's a headache or a hangnail. God wants to heal people tonight, okay? And he wants to use you. He wants you to go through these steps. And so even if it's something you're like, well, I can deal with that, go ahead and let somebody heal you. You know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead and be okay with it. Like, and don't be ashamed because you came in here in pain. Let somebody that's in faith work on you for a minute. And go ahead and receive tonight, okay? So I'll pray and then get with two or three people and let somebody practice on you. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes the thing for which it's sent. And tonight, we talked about your word concerning healing. It is your will to heal and your will to use believers to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Your best is an instant miracle. So, Father, we thank you in advance that when hands are laid on people, myself included, that healing manifests immediately in Jesus' name. So, Father, I thank you for it. And as we practice, that we'll experience great joy as a result of what you're doing in and through us. In the name of Jesus, amen.